we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. And I just want to say thank you for taking some time out of your life and feeding your spirit. And through the radio program here, I hope that you have a daily Bible reading program that you are working your way through, that you're spending time with the King on a daily basis. And that you, I want to commend you for being a lifelong learner today. And, you know, I've heard some feedback from people that I know say that they run into people who listen to the radio program that I've never met. You don't know me at all. And yet God has seen fit to connect us through the airwaves of 91.5 FM and WWBC 1510 AM to make our journeys for Jesus better together. And so we want to say thank you to that. We also want to say thank you to JITS Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you are looking at a renovation project or need a new driveway, sidewalks, a patio, anything like that, I want to encourage you to give the folks at JITS Concrete a call, whether it's block work or concrete work, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. It will be beneficial to you. You don't have the learning curve. They've got all of the skill, the expertise, the tools that are necessary. They've got the work ethic, and you will be blessed to do that. I just encourage you, get a hold of them. Weeks and weeks before you need the project done, because there is so much construction going on. Not only do you have to get their schedule in line with your schedule, but they've also got to coordinate that with the concrete companies and the delivery trucks and all of that sort of stuff. And many times they are at the mercy of the delivery trucks, the concrete companies, when they can deliver the material. So don't wait and say, you know, I'd like this poured tomorrow. That's not going to happen. And so do a little bit of pre-planning, give them a call. You will find that they can probably do the job at about the same cost as if you were buying the concrete, mixing it yourself, doing it yourself, and they will do it better than you could do it in the first place. And so give them a call, 321-536-5804. That'll get you Greg at JITS Concrete, and tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. That would be a blessing to us as well. So here we are. I just want to encourage you, want to remind you, be careful. School starts back on Friday. I don't know why it starts on Friday. That makes very little sense to me, but I'm not an expert at that. You know, I watched a school board meeting online several years ago where the chairman at that point in time said, "We know better for what's better for your kids than the parents do." And it's like, "Ooh, that's a pretty brash statement." And that person wasn't long for that job. But I don't know why they started on Friday, but they start on Friday, and you need to be aware, because the police will be out there, because they're charged with the responsibility of keeping kids safe. And that means kids crossing the streets, crossing in crosswalks, and so cars pulling in and out of the schools. And for some of the kids, that'll be their first time. It's going to be a very, very exciting day for some parents and a very nervous day for some parents. So please be careful. Pay attention to where the school zones are. And also use that time when you come to a school zone to pray for our kids and for our teachers, that they would be kept safe. I mean, you know, the whole world has changed in the past 20 years, where now schools are targets of people who are wanting to do evil things. They're looking for soft targets, and so schools are one of those places that they look for. So we now need to pray prayers of protection for our kids and for our students. We need to pray that the Spirit of God would move in the hearts of young people, and we need to pray for teachers who want to stand and represent truth in this day and time. So use that opportunity to pray when you come upon a school zone. And one more point, make sure that you pray with your eyes open. I know I shouldn't have to say that, but about a year or so ago, there was a news story that came out, and there was a lady who had been involved in an accident, and she was driving down the road, and she felt compelled to pray, so she closed her eyes to pray and ended up getting into an accident. I just want you to know, God hears your prayers even when your eyes are open. He's really highly advanced technologically like that. So anyway, little bit of lighthearted admonishment there from a wisdom perspective. I want to take you today to the book of Acts, chapter 26. The book of Acts, chapter 26. This is when Paul is on trial before King Agrippa and Festus. And so I'll just read through verses 1 through 28, and then we will come back and we will talk a little bit today about how do we be light in the world that we live. So Paul is a convict, and this is he's standing before King Agrippa, and this is what he says. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You are permitted to speak for yourself." So Paul stretched out his hand and answered for himself, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all the things of which I am accused by the Jews, especially because you are expert in all customs and questions which have to do with the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was spent from the beginning among my own nation at Jerusalem, all the Jews know. They knew me from the first, if they were willing to testify, that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. To this promise, our 12 tribes, earnestly serving God night and day, hope to attain. For this hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews. Why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises the dead? Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Is it hard for you to kick against the goads?' So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet to reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. For these reasons, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Now, as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad." But he said, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king knows, before whom I also speak freely, knows these things, for I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe." Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." Another translation says, "Do you think you can persuade me in such a short period of time?" So Paul is standing here, and he tells Agrippa and Festus about his encounter with Jesus on the Damascus Road and how that Jesus had convicted him of persecuting churches and believers, and that Jesus took that as an assault upon himself personally. Many people think that they're just lashing out at other human people, but you and I have to remember that we are in a spiritual warfare, and so we do not wage war against people. We wage war against principalities and powers. It's a spiritual warfare. On the same hand, when there are attacks against the body, when there are attacks against Christians, then that is not just an attack on individuals. It is an assault upon the King of Glory. It is an assault on Jesus. You need to realize that when people attack saints, the Bible has a way of referring to that, and it refers to that act as resulting in people being drunk on the blood of the saints, that it causes them to lose a sense of propriety. They no longer understand what is proper and what is not. They don't understand what is right and what is not. It causes them to have a quick fuse. And the thing about I've never been into alcohol. I saw too many people's lives ruined by it. But what I have been told by people who are addicted to that is that when you have had X number of drinks, then you still want to. I had a person that told me, he said, "I could go to a bar, I could drink 12 beers, 13 beers, and if you asked me if I was drunk, I could tell you, no, I am not drunk at all." And but yet his blood alcohol indicated otherwise. You know, we don't want to be intoxicated. So I encourage you, don't attack brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't be a person who attacks other people. You have to realize that people are the object of Jesus' affection, and so you don't want to lash out against him. So I said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things of which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you." What I want to share with you about this is a person's current condition has no bearing whatsoever on what God can make out of them in the future. Paul was taken from a zealous persecutor of the church to a minister of the church to a witness of the very things that he was trying to get people to denounce. He goes on, he said, "This is the purpose that I have appeared to you, to make you a minister and a witness." God, when he was revealed, when his light shone into our lives, it was for the purpose of making us what he intended us to be all along. And I tell people this, if you want to know what God expects of you, listen, the Holy Spirit was poured out to empower us to be witnesses. And it's very simple what he wants us to testify. The things which you have seen, the things which we have heard, and the things that he will reveal to us. Many people don't tell others about Jesus because they feel unqualified. They don't feel spiritually trained. They don't feel like they know the Bible well enough. They don't know God well enough. All of those things are probably true. But every one of us has the ability to tell about the things that we have seen and the things that we have witnessed. Everybody can tell about the things that we have had revealed to us. That's very simple. Tell your story with Jesus. That's all we've got to do. Nobody knows your story better than you do. When we come together as saints, what we do is we bring our experience with the grace of God into a fellowship with others who have experienced the grace of God so that we all come away with a better understanding of the grace of God. To those who have been supernaturally healed of terminal diseases, those people have made a profound effect upon my life because I have no problem believing that God can heal others of those diseases. For those who have been delivered from addictions, I have no problem believing that God is more powerful than drugs, more powerful than alcohol, and as a lady testified recently, more powerful than cigarettes. He's more powerful than sugar. He's more powerful than food addictions. He's more powerful than all of those things. If we will just say, yes, God, demonstrate your power in my life. Testify about the things which you have seen. He says, now I'm going to give you an audience for that message. So you and I encourage people to do this. When you are a new believer, make sure that you tell people in the church, hey, Jesus just saved me. He just forgave me of my sins. You know why? Because every person in there should have already had that experience as well. So you are not going to find a hostile audience there. You are going to find a loving audience there, an audience that is going to rejoice with you and that is going to celebrate your victory and will help to equip you and embolden you to tell other people. The second people that I encourage you to tell your testimony to are to those that are your friends or your relatives, your sphere of influence there. You know why? Because they already like you. They may not understand what you've gone on, but you may be God's messenger of light into that sphere of people because he loves them and he wants to save them. Now, don't be surprised if the first time that they hear your message, they don't respond favorably, because most of us didn't respond favorably the first time either. Don't be surprised if they don't try and undermine you. And, you know, we live in a day and time where there are different standards of holiness. I want to be as holy as, listen, this is my standard of holy. Be holy even as I am holy, says the Lord. So I don't want to be minimalistic in my holiness. I want to maximize as much as possible the holiness of God in my life because it's going to be beneficial to those around me. I don't just want to be barely saved. I want to be completely and thoroughly saved. And then once you have communicated with those, then you may be like Paul, where you are tasked with the responsibility of sharing that message with other people that might not fit in those two circles that we just talked about, being the church and your family and friends. You might be asked to share that message with strangers who have nothing in common with you, the way that Paul was. Paul was standing before a king sharing his testimony. I think that is just wonderful. He says, here I am, and I am communicating this because God has given me this audience for this purpose, to open up people's eyes. And Herod Agrippa responded, he said, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." In other words, he had just been exposed to the truth of the gospel. Now, how he responds to that is his message. And like I shared on an earlier program, he can either accept it, he can reject it, or he may table it and the seed be activated at a later time. You don't know what God is going to do with the seed that you plant. But like I encourage people, and I just said it a minute ago, don't be impatient. God works in people's hearts and lives. He's very patient and very tender with us. He's much like a physical therapist would be and say, okay, you know, how far can we go today? And goes to that point. Okay, can we go farther the next time? Can we go farther until he gets us to where he wants us? So he says to open their eyes, and here is the reason that eyes need to be open in order to turn them from darkness to light, so that the atmosphere in which they live is no longer one of blindness, but it's sight, it's vision, it's no longer concealment, it's revelation. What a revelation when you're told over and over and over again in our society that you're a cosmic accident, that once you die, you die, you have no purpose on this earth, that you, listen, do you realize that I think back to the movie series, The Matrix, where the guy said, humanity is a virus that is infecting this. That's what people have been taught. And just go out and do whatever you want that makes you happy, because once you die, you die. If you want to understand why people don't value life, it is because they have been taught their entire life by society that life is not valuable. But all of a sudden you come in and say, look, God created you on purpose. You have been strategically placed on this planet for such a time as this. All of a sudden, people begin to understand that there's a whole new world. There's been a whole line of misconceptions and falsehoods that they have been bombarded with throughout their life. He says, and from the power of Satan to God. God wants to come into people's life to change the authority. That's what this word is in the Greek. It's exousia. It is power. It is authority. Where you and I, we are basically in two camps. You know, there are two types of people. Those who understand that there are two types of people. Those who may not understand that there are two types of people, and those that don't care. It's a three-pronged answer to a two-pronged theorem there. That's a joke. But here, there's only two realms of authority. You are either under the authority of Satan and a servant of wickedness, or you are under the authority of God and a servant of righteousness. There is no middle ground. There is no middle ground. And God says, I want there to be a new king in town. You know, in the Old West, it said, you know, tell him there's a new sheriff in town. And the lawlessness that used to be here is not going to be tolerated any longer. And you can rest assured that there would be that those who are insisting on living in lawlessness and those who are insistent on living under a new authority, a righteous authority, that there's going to be a point of contention, there's going to be a point of conflict. Why does God want us to live under the authority of God instead of Satan? That they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those. We talk a lot about forgiveness, so I'm not going to highlight too much about that. God wants you living. Listen, the only way to live under the authority of God is to repent and ask him to be the Lord of your life. Not just the Savior, the Lord. And say, God, I want to live under your dominion. I want to live under your rules. I want to live under your authority. And it says, an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Our faith should be something that when it's activated in our life, it says, you know what? I am not going to continue to pursue the purposes that I have always pursued. I've now got a different purpose in my life. The purpose I have now, you know, when a butterfly goes through metamorphosis, it comes out with a different purpose than it had when it went in. It looks different. It acts different. Its very nature has changed. And you and I should be set apart for God's holy purpose in our life. Now, let me go back to that middle part that I've jumped over for right now. And an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. You and I, because of what God has done in our life, he not only wants to use us for his glory and empower us to serve him, but he says, I've got an inheritance for you. Those who I sanctify by faith, who are set apart for my purpose, listen, they're not just in it for a paycheck. They're in it for an inheritance. God has exponential peace that is part of your inheritance. Listen, the ultimate inheritance is him. He told Abraham, Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. So all of the other stuff that we are talking about is secondary. The primary aspect of our inheritance is a relationship with him. Spiritual inheritance is not like an earthly inheritance where we are waiting for someone to die before we get to avail ourselves of it. You know, the prodigal son said, I want my inheritance now. And so the father distributes some goods to him, but he doesn't realize until he gets into a faraway land and he goes through some hard times that the actual benefit was how his father treated people. The older brother stayed on the place. He stayed obedient, but he still had the same misconception at the other brother that it was all about stuff. It wasn't until the father went out to him and explained, he said, look, you are always with me and everything I have belongs to you. But it was right that we celebrate that your brother came back to faith. Today, I pray that the message that you hear today, that it will not almost persuade you to become a Christian, but it would persuade you. Be sanctified by faith because you have an inheritance. You are a joint heir with Christ. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.